This week on The Final Cut, war is coming. Wes Anderson's The Grand Budapest Hotel, plus discussing the Australian film pioneer Charles Chauvel as two of the director's war classics get a re-release on DVD.
What are we fighting for?
I suppose it's for the right to stand up on a soapbox in the Domain. The right to tell the boss what he can do with his job if we don't like it. And the right to start off as a rouseabout and finish up as Prime Minister. That's what we're fighting for.
A pretty good reason too, Jim.
The films of the Australian pioneer director Charles Chauvel are set for re-release on DVD. The first titles to hit the shelves are his 1940s war movies, 40,000 Horsemen, about the exploits of Australia's Light Horse Brigade in the Great War, and The Rats of Tobruk, set in World War II, all starring Chips Rafferty, Grant Taylor and Peter Finch. Chauvel's groundbreaking career produced 9 feature films in total, including In the Wake of the Bounty, which launched the career of Errol Flynn, Sons of Matthew, about a Queensland pioneer farming dynasty, and of course Jeddah, his last film, which he made in 1955, a tragedy about an Aboriginal girl brought up by a white family who attempts to reconnect with her black roots. Chauvel himself was brought up in a Queensland farming family, and it shows, I think, with his love of landscape and the rugged characters of the bush reflected again and again in his films. But of course, when I say his films, he was in fact part of a team with wife Elsa co-producing and co-writing throughout. An excellent DVD extra, a full-length documentary, appears on the new releases, and it does in fact feature interviews with Elsa, along with other collaborators of Chauvel. This week I spoke with its director, John Doggett Williams.
Chauvel was nurtured by Snowy Baker, who was a legendary figure at the time. He represented Australia at the 1908 Olympics. He made his own movies, which were socially progressive. Chauvel finally escaped from his parents' farm in 1920. He was 23 at the time. He followed his dream of going to art school, and as a diversion, really, he started boxing classes at Snowy Baker's gym. And he followed Snowy on his tour of California in 1922, when Snowy took his famous whip-cracking routine. And from with his horse riding school, he started to pick up jobs as an extra in Hollywood. And he assisted with publicity for Douglas Fairbanks Sr. On The Thief of Baghdad. And from there, he learned how to spruik movies. And from there, he was able to sort of approach backers who were often, initially, they were pastoralists, friends of the family, who would put money into his films. And from there, he expanded. But there was always a bad ending financially to Charles's dealings. Other people would often make money, but he wouldn't.
Well, that sounds like the fate of many filmmakers, I must say. But it's interesting when you look at his two famous war films, The 40,000 Horsemen and The Rats of Tobruk. He does, I mean, you see Chauvel's love of the land and people who work the land. Even in these films, he makes a point of talking about how the Aussie digger was such a good soldier because he had the toughness sort of instilled in him from a life that was close to the land, lived close to the land.
That's right. They're also, you know, that's the world that Chauvel came from as well. They're good, well-drawn characters, weren't they? They're also tough, reliable men. One thing I'd be remiss not to mention would be the fact that, of course, 40,000 Horsemen, which follows the Australian Light Horse and their famous victories in the Sinai Desert and Beersheba, were commanded by his uncle, General Harry Chauvel. And his own father, Alan Chauvel, was in charge of supplying remounts for the horsemen. So Charles grew up in an environment as a teenager where two of the closest males in his life were fighting heroic, famous battles in a far-off land, and they were fated for it. So he was definitely sort of drawn into that patriotism.
Watching 40,000 Horsemen and The Rats of Tobruk again, I was reminded, though, that Australia was very much a different place in terms of it was much more of a place that identified as part of the British Empire. You know, there's words like wog are used without any kind of cringing at all in a scene in The Rats of Tobruk, for example, which, you know, not many years later would start to take on a whole different meaning. Does it make it a little bit more difficult for Australians to identify with them now?
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, there's a reason that Australia hasn't embraced and cherished its film heritage. You know, we don't have flawless films like Citizen Kane or Gone with the Wind with their massive budgets and their huge technical achievements. Our film history has its flaws, and Chevelle's films are part of them. But I prefer to acknowledge some of the things, that cultural things that are unacceptable now, and try and look beyond them. I think that Chevelle's enduring legacy was his attitude, his refusal to compromise his vision in terms of how getting his films done and made.
Moving to his last film, Jeddah, it is interesting, and I suppose another sign of the times in a way, that it was someone from outside Australia who placed the idea in his head that the chief unique aspect to your country is the Indigenous culture and the Indigenous people. Let's see some of that on the big screen. And he took that idea away from a meeting in New York, I think, to then develop Jeddah. How groundbreaking was Jeddah, do you think?
Well, everyone, all his peers at the time, more than discouraged him. Of course, it was radical and groundbreaking. It was not only Aboriginals playing the leads was not only unique, so was the fact that the film was made in colour and it really championed the landscape as well. I mean, it was I think of it as a next level leap in terms of sophistication of film production in Australia and also treating a sophisticated subject matter. But, you know, even though the film was a success financially and culturally, it was the first Australian film accepted into the Cannes Film Festival in 1955. Chevelle felt as though at the end of the film that it was the end of his filmmaking career because he received such criticism, and he was pretty well told that he wasn't going to make another film in Australia, another feature film.
What was criticism?
Well, it was hostility towards the subject matter and the fact that he had a radical ending for the film too. Films, as Susan Chevelle says, that films in those days didn't have unhappy endings, and you couldn't have had a more unhappy ending than what actually happened.
Filmmaker John Doggett-Williams on the films of Charles Chevelle. His documentary on the iconic Australian director features on the new batch of reissued DVDs of Chevelle's films, which are coming out on staggered release over the next few months. You're on The Final Cut.